Imagine tearing your ACL or, I don't know, dealing with a nagging rotator cuff that just won't heal.
Oh, yeah, those are the worst. Just completely frustrating.
Right. And instead of facing down months of grueling physical therapy, you open a package, order off some gray market website, you draw a clear liquid into a syringe, and you inject a compound into your stomach, just hoping to cut your recovery time in half.
It sounds wild, but it's happening everywhere.
Exactly. Millions of people in the fitness optimization and, biohacking spaces are doing exactly this right now. They're placing their physical futures in the hands of two highly discussed, kind of mysterious recovery peptides, BPC-157 and TB-500. So, welcome to today's deep dive.
Thanks for having me. And yeah, it is a massive phenomenon right now. We're looking at a recovery landscape that is practically overflowing with supposed miracle cures.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
They really are. And these two compounds sit right at the top of the pyramid. But the gap between what people are confidently claiming online and what the data actually supports is, well, it's vast.
Yeah, and that is exactly why we're here. Our mission today is to cut right through that internet hype. We're going to explore their differing reputations, break down the actual cellular theories of how they supposedly work, and determine what the science actually says, or I guess doesn't say, about their effectiveness for human recovery.
Right, because there's a lot it doesn't say.
Exactly. And we are grounding our analysis in a really comprehensive, highly critical data poll from the peptide-based database, which was just updated April 20, 2026.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before we get into the microscopic biology, we really need to understand how the internet has distinctly branded each of these peptides.
The branding is almost as powerful as the biology at this point, honestly.
Totally. The online world has essentially created two very different reputational lanes for them.
Yeah, and before we go further into those lanes, let's just, baseline what we even mean by a peptide.
Oh, good call. Yeah, let's do that.
So a peptide is simply a short chain of amino acids. Think of it as a protein's smaller cousin.
Okay, small protein. Got it. Right. And in the body, they act as signaling molecules. They're basically messengers that tell your cells to perform specific functions, like releasing hormones or repairing tissue.
So they are like biological text messages.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, biological text messages.
And when we look at BPC-157, the internet treats this specific text message like a blast to the entire system, like an all-company email. According to the database, this one is framed broadly as the ultimate healing peptide.
That's definitely the reputation.
Like if you are searching for tendon issues, ligament recovery, muscle repair, gut support, or even just dealing with systemic inflammation, BPC-157 is usually the very first thing that pops up.
It has an incredibly wide net. I mean, connective tissue, digestion, recovery from just normal post-training soreness, wound healing. The online discourse positions it as this systemic fix.
Yeah, and I actually noticed this phrase in the analysis that called BPC-157 the duct tape for the human body.
Duct tape. Yeah, I've heard that one.
Right. Like got a micro tear in your shoulder. Tape it. Yeah. Inflamed gut lining. Tape it. I mean, I have to push back on this logic.
Oh, please do.
Because if someone tells me a single chemical tool can, fix my car's engine, patch my roof, and cure my indigestion, my immediate reaction isn't awe. It's skepticism.
As it should be.
Right. Doesn't that sheer breadth of claims make the compound less credible, not more?
That skepticism is entirely warranted. I mean, look, BPC-157 does have preclinical signals.
Okay.
Like what? Mostly in rodent models, honestly. But things that make it genuinely interesting to researchers, it's not totally made up.
Sure, mice and rats.
Exactly. But wider online discussion does not equal stronger human evidence. The sheer volume of people claiming it cures everything under the sun, it kind of dilutes the actual scientific inquiry.
It just becomes noise.
Exactly. It's all noise.
So BPC-157 acts as this generalized systemic duct tape. But surely, if someone has a highly specific localized injury, say, a torn hamstring, a systemic approach feels too broad.
Right.
Does the biohacking world offer a targeted alternative?
They absolutely do. And that brings us to TB500.
Okay, TB500.
Yeah. And this peptide is framed entirely differently. It is positioned as the soft tissue specific specialist.
The specialist.
Right. When the conversations online shift toward mobility, tissue repair, cell migration, and highly localized injury recovery, TB500 is the one that really takes the spotlight.
So it has a much narrower, seemingly more focused reputation.
Very focused.
If BPC-157 is the broad duct tape, TB500 is framed like the specialized mechanic who, only works in your transmission.
That's a perfect analogy.
But okay, if we put the lack of human trials aside for just a moment, I really want to look under the hood at the actual cellular theories here.
Let's do it.
Because the database mentions this illusion of mechanism. If these things do work the way biohackers claim, what is theoretically happening at a microscopic level?
Well, let's start with the mechanism story for BPC-157. The primary theory rests heavily on something called angiogenesis alongside tissue protection and nitric oxide-related effects.
Okay, hold on. Let's break that down. Angiogenesis?
Yeah.
For those of us who aren't cellular biologists, what does that actually mean in the context of, say, a torn tendon?
So angiogenesis is the physiological process through which new blood vessels form from pre-existing vessels.
Okay, new blood vessels.
Right. And tendons and ligaments notoriously have terrible blood supply, which is why they heal so incredibly slowly compared to a muscle.
Right, right. Because muscles get a ton of blood flow.
Exactly. So the theory behind BPC-157 is that it signals the body to upregulate vascular growth factors.
Okay.
It essentially commands the body to build new microscopic supply highways directly into the damaged tissue.
Wow. Okay. And then the nitric oxide aspect, the nitric oxide dilates those blood vessels, right?
You got it.
So it's not just building new highways to the disaster zone. It's widening the lane so all that nutrient-rich blood can flood the area.
That's the theory, yeah.
I mean, that is a very seductive narrative. It sounds logically perfect.
It does. It really does.
So what about TB500? What's its biological storyline?
So TB500's mechanism is grounded in thymosin beta-4 biology.
Thymosin beta-4.
Okay, right, which is a naturally occurring protein in the body. And the discussions around TB500 focus on how it influences actin dynamics and cell migration.
Wait, pause there. Actin dynamics?
Yeah.
How does that translate to fixing a torn muscle?
Okay, think of actin as the physical scaffolding or the internal skeleton of a cell.
Okay, the skeleton.
For a cell to move, like, to migrate to the site of an injury to actually begin repairs, it has to physically change shape. It has to break down and rebuild its internal scaffolding rapidly to just crawl through the body's tissues.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about cells having to crawl.
Yeah, they have to physically move. And TB500 supposedly binds to actin and regulates this process, supercharging the cell's ability to migrate exactly where they are needed for tissue remodeling.
Okay, what's fascinating here is that TB500's link to thymosin beta-4 gives it this very clean, highly targeted narrative.
What's fascinating here is, well, exactly what you just said. The narrative is so clean.
Right. But if the mechanism is so clean and mapped out in a lab, why is it so hard to translate that into human trials? Like, what's the biological roadblock?
That block is human complexity.
Really?
Yeah.
Just that we're too complicated.
Basically, yeah. Peptide having a plausible biological storyline in a petri dish or, you know, a rat is pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
But the human body has countless overlapping, redundant, and conflicting signaling pathways.
It's messy.
Incredibly messy. What happens in a controlled cellular environment rarely translates cleanly to the chaotic multi-system reality of human biology.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. To understand this disconnect, imagine having a beautiful, highly detailed blueprint for a house.
Okay.
You look at the blueprint, which in this case is the biological mechanism of angiogenesis or actin dynamics, and it makes total sense.
Right. The lines all connect.
Exactly. The plumbing connects. The load-bearing walls are in the exact right place. But having a perfect blueprint doesn't actually prove that the construction crew, the peptide, working inside the messy reality of the human body, successfully built the house.
That is exactly it. The blueprint is the theory. The standing house is the clinical evidence. And right now, the internet is aggressively selling people the blueprint and telling them they can move in tomorrow.
Oh, man. That's such a dangerous game. And that brings us to the elephant in the room.
Yeah, it does.
We have these convincing blueprints. We have massive online momentum and just endless anecdotal enthusiasm from biohackers. It cured my shoulder. It fixed my knee.
You see it everywhere on Reddit and forums.
Exactly. But what happens when we look for the actual peer-reviewed human clinical trials? Because this leads us to the core issue that so many optimization websites actively try to obscure.
The database analysis calls it the boring answer.
The boring answer. I love that.
Right. And the boring answer is that neither peptide has the strong, rigorous human evidence needed to justify the high confidence claims you see online. Both of them remain fundamentally evidence-limited in humans.
It's crazy because people are out there constantly searching, which one is better for injuries? Is BPC-157 better studied? Does TB500 heal ligaments faster?
And when you ask those questions, the clinical reality is that neither has the robust human data to definitively win that title.
Wow. Neither of them.
Neither. BPC-157 has an enormous claim surface, and TB-500 has a plausible biological basis with thymus and beta-4. But neither of those facts solves the core issue. The human trial data is just glaringly absent.
It's just wild to me. You have this massive online infrastructure built around these two compounds.
Oh, huge. Millions of dollars.
Right. There are detailed dosage calculators, extensive guides on how to inject them, aggressive debates over which is superior. It creates a profound illusion of scientific consensus.
Which naturally leads people to try and outsmart the lack of evidence.
What do you mean?
Well, if one compound doesn't have the data to guarantee a fix, the internet's solution is just to double down.
Oh, right. The biological hack, the concept of stacking them together.
Exactly. Stacking.
The logic seems to be, if BPC-157 is the duct tape and TB-500 is the targeted mechanic, why not hire both for the job?
That's the thought process, yeah.
But does combining two uncertain compounds actually solve the problem, or does it just multiply the uncertainty?
It drastically multiplies the uncertainty and, more importantly, the risk.
The risk.
Yeah. Stacking makes the user feel sophisticated, like they're a biochemist mixing precise ratios. But biologically, it is a massive gamble.
Let's create a clear picture of why that's a gamble.
Yeah.
We just talked about the cellular theories. BPC-157 theoretically promotes angiogenesis, growing new blood vessels. TB-500 theoretically promotes rapid cell migration. What happens if you combine those two aggressive growth signals in a body that might have, underlying undiscovered issues?
This is exactly the concern that keeps researchers up at night.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. If you artificially stimulate the growth of new blood vessels and simultaneously tell cells to migrate and multiply rapidly, what if the cell migrating isn't a healthy muscle cell?
Oh, wow.
What if it's a precancerous cell?
You've just given a rogue cell a brand new supply highway and a sports car.
Precisely. You are accelerating cellular processes without the body's natural brakes.
That is terrifying.
It is. And that explains biologically why stacking unchecked compounds isn't just mathematically complex, it is theoretically dangerous. Stacking does not magically create strong human evidence where none existed before.
Right.
It just creates an uncontrolled, unmonitored human experiment.
And that leads directly into the broader safety issues. The data pool explicitly lists the shared risk factors for both BPC-157 and TB-500, and they go far beyond just cellular theory.
Yeah, the practical risks are huge. You have to consider uncertain product purity.
Because they're bought online.
Right. These are primarily gray market substances. You don't know who synthesized them or under what conditions.
It could be made in a bathtub for all we know.
Literally. There's inconsistent dosing, injection site risks, and a complete lack of long-term human safety clarity. We simply do not know what these compounds do over a 5 or 10 year period in a diverse human population.
But the analysis points out one risk that might be the most dangerous of all, purely from a behavioral standpoint.
The behavioral risk is massive.
Unrealistic expectations that lead people to skip proper diagnosis and standard medical care.
When someone believes they have a miracle cure in their fridge, they're far less likely to go get an MRI.
Wow. Yeah. So what does this all mean? It means people are self-diagnosing structural injuries based on a Reddit thread,
Yep.
buying a gray market chemical, and totally ignoring the fact that they might need actual physical therapy or even surgical intervention.
It's a huge problem.
There is a striking quote from the analysis. It says that relying on these compounds while ignoring a major injury isn't optimization. It's denial with branding.
Denial with branding. That is
That,
just so spot on.
isn't it?
We wrap these unproven interventions in the language of high-performance science. We call it biohacking to feel like we are ahead of the curve. But a lot of this online content is simply uncertainty-wearing sunglasses.
Uncertainty-wearing sunglasses. Man, I love that. It looks incredibly cool. It sounds supremely confident, but it's completely blind to the clinical reality.
Exactly. The jargon masks the lack of data.
Right. Using words like angiogenesis and actin dynamics acts as a really powerful marketing tool. The person buying a vial off an unregulated website feels like they are participating in cutting-edge, elite medicine rather than taking a massive, uncalculated risk with their own biology.
So true. So let's synthesize this comparison for you, the listener, as we wrap up this deep dive. Based on the peptide-based analysis, if the theoretical questions are about gut-related issues, systemic inflammation, or generalized healing, BPC-157 occupies that broad reputational lane.
Right. And if the focus is strictly on soft tissue repair, mobility, or cellular migration tied to thymosin beta-4, TB500 is the one that occupies the specialist lane.
Exactly. However, the ultimate takeaway is that both are surrounded by far more confidence online than current human evidence can comfortably support.
Yeah, that gap is just huge.
It is. So when you are exploring these topics, the decision guide in the database reframes the question beautifully. You shouldn't be asking which peptide wins.
What should they be asking?
You need to ask yourself, are you looking for a clinically settled option? Or are you just fascinated by an unproven research topic?
That is the question. Are you underestimating the sourcing and safety risks just because an online community makes injecting gray market compounds sound like a routine Tuesday morning?
Right.
Are you replacing professional imaging and medical diagnosis with a cellular theory you read on a blog?
And we must remind you that this deep dive is purely for educational purposes and is not medical advice. The human evidence remains incredibly limited, and anyone considering peptide use has to weigh regulatory issues, gray market sourcing risks, and clinician guidance extremely carefully.
Absolutely. It really comes down to how we view our bodies and the healing process. We are wired to want the shortcut. You know?
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be injured.
Exactly. We want the magic tape or the specialized mechanic to jump in, fix the damage, and get us back in the gym overnight. But I want to leave you with a final lingering question to ponder.
Let's hear it.
If so much of this modern optimization is really just biological theory backed by gray market hype, at what point does the relentless pursuit of chemical shortcuts actually distract us from understanding and mastering the body's own existing, highly complex, and highly effective natural recovery pathways?
That's a great point. We spend so much time and energy trying to hack the system from the outside, we blind ourselves to the incredible adaptive resilience built right into the system itself.
We really do. We started this conversation talking about that linear path to recovery, the one that requires patience, standard care, and a lot of time.
The hard path.
The hard path. And it's deeply frustrating when you are injured. It feels agonizingly slow. But maybe there is a reason that path is so well worn. Before you abandon it for a beautiful blueprint that lacks a construction crew, make sure you aren't just trading true recovery for uncertainty wearing sunglasses.